Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
And it takes a knee and the New York Giants are the Super Bowl.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
They knock off the mighty Patriots 17-14.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Jersey Mike's Yankees box office blitz. We've got a pair of field-level tickets to see the Bombers take on Pittsburgh at the stadium. That is Saturday, September 28th. Right now, we'll do call the number 10 at 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326. It's your chance to win now. BT and Sound on the Fan. It's all from Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees box office blitz and The Fan, and make sure you guys tune in again tomorrow, same time, right around 12:30 or so, a little bit before, with us, BT and Sal, another chance to win. So, obviously a heavy Mets day, but some really good stories if you stayed up to watch the Yanks last night, and obviously many of you diehards did, even if you didn't make the entire game, which I did not. I watched part of it. You know, Dominguez finally popped one here, and he got loose, and hit one straightaway center. Judge is hot again. There's some good stories developing with the Yankees. Luis Gil was very good. And, you know, now you're starting to get a little separation of this Orioles team, and it's almost become an anticlimactic. It's odd.
Yeah, and twofold. The Orioles stink. They're done. Put a fork in them. But more so, and more importantly, the Yankees finally, BT, starting to gel and click and look like the team we expected them to look like. Now, will that hold up here for the final, you know, 10 games or 11, whatever it is, into the postseason? Yet to be determined. But at least right now, it seems like they're playing their best brand of baseball at the right time, which is refreshing to see.
Yeah, I mean, Gleyber Torres, who's been the source of much consternation from us and from a lot of fans, take a lot of calls on, you know, those bouts of lack of focus. He's hit really well for a while now. It's been about a good 6-7 weeks where he's been pretty locked in. So the Yankees are starting to pick up a little steam here. We're joined by the great Susan Waldman. We'll do it every single Wednesday throughout what hopefully is a run through number 28. What's happening, Susan? How you doing today?
Consternation. It's too early in the morning out here to use a word like consternation.
I know. Sal has no four-syllable words, so I have to insert a few.
I heard you just talking about Gleyber. This has been since they put him in the leadoff spot. Yeah. You can trace it right to there. He's batting about .320 since he went into the leadoff spot.
Yeah, he has. He's been really. I mean, it's interesting. You talk to Boone and all the players all the time. I mean, mechanically, I don't think much has changed. Is it as simple as getting better pitches with the big boys behind them?
Yes, and when I asked Boone about that, well, I said to him, oh, I guess it was last week, he's much better since you put him in the leadoff spot. And he said to me, how do you know I didn't put him in the leadoff spot because he was much better?
Well, there's statistics that can either reinforce that or refute that. So I'm going to have to dig into it a little bit and get the right answer.
But Aaron says that he looks at things before. He could tell 2 days before in batting practice that this one's going off on a tear. This one's going off on a tear. And I do believe him because Joe Torre used to predict it all the time. But Gleyber also, if you notice the three great defensive plays last night, if you guys stayed up, I don't know if you did, but he made three sparkling plays at second base. And that is, it's so much focus with Gleyber. It really is. He's sensitive to everything. And it's so much focus with him because the talent is there and we've always known that.
So why, Susan, should we believe that he's going to be able to keep this focus? I mean, it's been great, but why should we believe he's going to keep this focus through the postseason for a change?
I don't know that you can. But it's part of his makeup, and who knows? Maybe this is the beginning of a run here. You know, you talk about everyone's talking about Soto as a free agent. So is Gleyber Torres. So he'd better not go back into one of those little sections where he doesn't focus and misses plays and cuts in front of the shortstop and doesn't make the throw. He's got to think about that also.
Yeah, and maybe this is a little bit out of your lane. I'm not sure how comfortable you are. So just, you know, do what you got to do with it. I'm on the record. I would not re-sign Torres. I've seen too many intermittent bounce of focus and you know, erratic play. Do you think the Yankees, because I don't think, they tried to trade him to the Marlins 2 years ago, so they're obviously thinking kind of on some level what I've thought for a while. Do you think maybe this is changing their mind long term?
I think they're pretty made up of what they want to do, made up their mind, and have made it up long ago. But that's something, you don't know what happens. I mean, you don't know what happens. I don't know, is there a replacement waiting in the wings? I don't know. Can Caleb Durbin come up and play after? I don't know. But they have all these ideas, and then it happens or it doesn't. But Gleyber is not only playing to stay here. And by the way, I mean, I think that a lot of it was one earlier on in the season when somebody wrote or said that the Yankees had no plan of re-signing him. This is all he's ever known since he came here. And though he hears those things and he loves it here. And he thinks it's his home. And guys do. And I know we don't get involved in all that. But, you know, this is a kid's life. He's 26.
Yeah.
He's been here for a very long time. And so, that got him down. I really think it affected him when he had heard that. Or what, I don't know who told him or whatever, but you could see a difference. And then sometimes you have to remember, you're not just playing for the New York Yankees. You're playing for 29 other teams that are looking to find you. And if you want to get a good job next year, you better play up to your potential.
Listen, definitely want to throw some other things at you, but you said something that really caught my ear. It's under the great Susan Waldman every Wednesday, B-Team South Round. The rest of the regular season, hopefully deep run into October. Yeah, we do often, not intentionally, but just the nature of what Sal and I do, and when you host a show, you kind of remove the human element, or you don't incorporate it the way that maybe we should. Understood. But if he loves being a Yankee so much, then try hustling all the time.
Well, but I don't know that it's not hustle. It's not that. I mean, people used to say that Daryl Strawberry never hustled. Was that him not hustling? Does Jazz Chisholm hustle? You know, it's different ways that people play. And you try, and you're right about trying not to, you have to separate because you got a job to do. And it's hard because you know these people. And you know what they go through, and it's hard to do that. But it's not that simple. It's not like somebody said, "Oh, BT, you know, you're saying this word too much. Stop it. You've been saying whatever it is for 100 years, and you try, and then sometimes it just doesn't work out.
Gotcha.
I don't know. But
gotcha.
So Susan Soto has been unbelievable. Another milestone last night.
I know what's coming. The first thing, everybody looked at each other when he said it's a great way to go into free agency. You should have seen the looks on everybody's face. Yep.
Yeah, well, you should have seen the look on my face. And it was a little different from the people in that clubhouse, I bet you. But I kind of expected this, Susan. Him with Boris, the way they've operated here historically. I mean, Juan Soto wants to test the market, truly test the market. I know he's been a perfect Yankee and it seems great, but did those comments and the way that you've gotten to know Soto here over the course of the year, did they, I don't know, maybe change your opinion on how he's going to handle free agency? What do you think of what Soto said last night after the game?
No, it did not. He's 25 years old. He is way beyond his years in maturity. He knows exactly who he is, exactly what he wants, and he loves it here. But he's going to get his money. I'll bet he's going to get it here because he loves it here. And I know people have other money, but he's putting it out. So maybe somebody said, "Oh, we better give him $1.98 more yesterday." But by the way, this is—he's really something. I got to tell you something that I saw the other night because I asked the hitting coach James Rousen about it. I do pre-game, post-game down by the entrance to the Yankee dugout, and right next to me is a batting cage. And we're at 11 o'clock at night, and Soto's down there. After a game with both hitting coaches, and they're just soft tossing to him, and he's going through swings. And I asked the hitting coach, James Rousen, is something wrong? Is he working on something? And he said, no, he felt something in a swing that was great, and he wanted to see if he could keep replicating it.
Wow.
He's down there at 11 o'clock at night. Everybody's leaving. And he's down there with both hitting coaches because he wanted to replicate what he felt. He thought he felt something great. I mean, this is a tremendous player with a tremendous work ethic.
He's all ball. That's all there is to it. And for the quote, we're going to get to this coming up. We're going to take calls on this, too, because it is pretty meaty. So what Susan referenced, quote, "What a great way to go to free agency with all 30 ballparks checked off my list." Now, again, it's not wrong. It's not an overinflation, but it's an interesting way to characterize it. You know, A-Rod, Jeter, Giambi, when the Yankees got him from the A's for the big money. I don't think I've ever heard a free agent quite, or assumed to be free agent, quite position it that way. What does it mean? I don't know, but it's definitely a unique take on the accomplishment, at the very least, no?
Well, if nothing else, he just told every other team that, you know, go ahead, offer me the money.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I took out of it. He's very smart. He is really smart, and he is a real Boris guy. I will take you guys to dinner if he doesn't resign here. But
I like that. I get Soto at the Mets, and we get to go to dinner on Susan. Sign me
right
up.
You like Chick-fil-A, right?
Oh, Susan, come on. Hey, we'll get into
what you... I'll take you to the Yankee press room.
Hey, that works, too, as long as we get to
hang
out.
Was that just rescinded very quickly? It seems like it was.
I just want to confirm one thing, Susan. We heard the home run call from last night where you said he did it. There were a lot of potential, he did it there. So 40 home runs, 200 career, but the fact that he home run at every ballpark, was it the fact that he...
No.
Okay.
Yes, because he talked about it all spring.
Home run in every ballpark. Okay,
yeah, a home run in every ballpark. And it's not, so he's been thinking about this, and he loves the fact that it was, I love that he brought up that every ballpark is different, and there are different dimensions everywhere, so he can hit anywhere. He talked about it when I first met him. And I didn't know anything about him, but he was very clear on his goals. And now I said, last I was walking by, but I said, now you have to find new goals. Because he wanted to play in every ballpark, and he wanted to hit a home run in every ballpark. And he did it all this year, and those were his two goals when he went into spring training. And now he has to find some new goals.
Yeah.
Well, sure he will at the age of 25.
How about October goals? That's where you start, right? That's where you make the memories.
But he's already got a ring.
I'm talking about us. You don't care about the Nationals? Screw the Nationals.
I don't know. I have five.
Hey, by the way, I have a question for you, Susan. Just indulge me for a moment. I would imagine the answer is no, but somebody said yes. So because I filled in for you those two games, okay, and was much below the bar that you've established, but I was in the booth for you. And if the Yankees win the World Series, somebody that night actually said that I'm entitled to a ring. Is that true?
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
I don't know. Wait a minute. You're entitled to a ring?
Yeah, because I...
For you two-game fan, get the hell out of here.
But that just somebody told me that.
No way.
I don't know.
Well, wait a minute. Well, see, they give it to a player. That's a player's thing. You're entitled to a ring if you come up for AAA and you play.
Got it. All right, so the answer
is... if you like.
Yes.
Do you wear yours, Susan? Do you ever wear those rings?
Only the 96 ring.
Why, that one means
every
the
now
most?
And then. That's the one means the most. It does. It just does.
God,
it
that was awesome.
The first, and nobody expected it, and it was it was different back then. That really was a family. Everybody, broadcasters and everything, and you know Joe Torre, and there was so much going on emotionally with that whole team, and nobody expected anything. And to watch a team that was supposed to do nothing come together a whole year and turn into what happened. 96 is every now and then. I did the 15th anniversary. I wore that one on Old Timers Day, but usually it's just the 96 ring if it's a special Yankee occasion.
BT and Sal on the fan. We're talking with Susan Wolman. How about Volpe, Susan? He's been out of the lineup now a couple of times in the last 8 days. What do you think here down the stretch? Is he going to get, is it guaranteed that Volpe's going to be the starting shortstop in the postseason every game?
Oh, yeah. I don't know every game, but yeah. Oh, yes. I mean, they're just trying to find a way. He's had hills and valleys. The hills are great, and the valleys are really low. And he's been up and down, and they try and pass it off. But I think a couple of days, and by the way, he's played every game until, I think he's started every game but three. And counting last night.
Well, that's why I asked, why now? Like, why? I get if you want to give the kid a breather, especially when he was struggling. I mean, he's been struggling the majority of the year after April. Yep. So why all of a sudden now is Boone deciding to give him a rest? That's the only reason why I asked the question.
Well, I think it's where they are in the season, and there was a day off before. My guess is he's back in today. But with the day off, he likes to give people days off where there's another one attached to it. So maybe he did that like that, and maybe they saw something. Like I say, they can predict, and maybe they just think right now was a good time coming out to the coast, just sit him for a day. I'm sure he's be back there. What I do like about what Volpe is doing is that he doesn't let it hurt him defensively. And he's made some great plays during this. And it's, you know, is it age? I don't know. Is it sophomore slump? I don't know what it is. But I think it was a good idea. My guess is he's back in there today.
Yeah, I may have done it a little bit more frequently earlier, like intermittently throughout once he cooled off after a great start. My thing with Volpe is, and I believe in him. I believe in his approach. I believe in his work ethic. I believe in his character. I believe in his defense. I believe in his speed. But now, going into year three, he's not a power guy per se. He's not a high average guy. Like, by year three, I would have expected to have more of a feel for who he really is going to be.
Well, this is real year two, right?
I'm saying going into next year, though.
Oh, well, let him finish this year first. I mean, I think the expectations were so high with Anthony Volpe, and last year some of them were met that I don't think he could ever live up to that. And I don't know. It's really hard to work on something and change something during the season. I mean, by year three, you really should know what someone is. And I don't think we'll know that about Volpe until next year. Were the expectations so high for this kid? He's going to be the next Jeter, and he's from New Jersey, and he's going to be whatever. To me, this all started when they moved him out of the number nine spot. He was doing perfectly well there. And then they had no leadoff hitter anymore, so because DJ got hurt. So they put him up there, and then... for me, that's when it all came back and all started. And now he's got to get it going in the other direction again, if he can.
There's no question. We'll start wrapping things up. Susan Waldman every Wednesday with us, BT and Sal, throughout the entire, hopefully a long postseason run. Just a little tip of the cap toward history here. I know that you revere it like both Sal and I do. I mean, we love the game. We've been around the game. You're there every night at stadiums. So after Seattle, it's off to the Coliseum, which is either charming or an absolute dump, depending upon your perspective. I've been there a lot. I've been there for Jets Raiders. I've been there for A's. I've probably been there about 15 times, and I put it more on the charming side, even though it is disgusting. Are you going to miss it? I mean, that's where the flip play was with Jeter. A lot of history there, and when that place is crowded and the A's are good, that was a pretty vibrant scene.
You know, and it's both. It's both words. And now it's terrible because they let it go. When I started going there in the late 80s, when they were good, when the Bash Brothers were there, and that horrible thing that Al Davis put in was not there, and you could see the mountains, and you could see the flowers, and it was yellow and purple and beautiful. The place had 50,000 people in it every night. I thought it was wonderful. I just loved every second of it. La Russa's teams, you could go out there. The grass was a little longer. It was great stuff. They had the grass a little longer because Ricky liked to bunt. And when Ricky Henderson liked to bunt, yeah, he liked to bunt it down the third baseline and he wanted the grass longer. So it was just a beautiful place. I loved it. It was old, but Fenway Park is old and I love that. And Wrigley Field is old and I love that as a fan. And it was wonderful. And then Al Davis put that monstrosity in and all of a sudden the mountains were gone and it was cold and they sold the team and the guy wasn't putting in the money team. And now there's possums living in the radio booth, which I love possums, but I hope they're still there when I get there. Gary, it scared the heck out of Gary Cohen when he was there for the first time. I had to tell him they're lovely. They eat bad things. Leave them alone. They won't hurt you. They're lovely. He said, but they're so ugly. I said, no, they're charming. Anyway, it's both. And I will miss those 80s and early 90s trips there. I love it. Now it's hideous.
Yeah.
And it's a shame. It's really awful because you saw the Oakland Raider fans. They're great fans.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Great fans. And they treated those A's teams like they treated the Raiders. You'd come in at 2:00 in the afternoon and they're out there tailgating in the parking lot.
It's awesome.
It was a wonderful place, and I'm sorry about the whole thing.
Me too. And you're talking about Mount Davis. For those who don't know, you used to have a real look at the Oakland Hills, and then obviously
the flowers.
Yeah,
and,
to come
and
back.
He wanted and to keep them there, and he lied to them too. So to keep them there, he made them put stands and it covered the whole view and it's too high and it's awful and it turned it into this
gross
joke of a bowl. It was horrible. So it was both charming and now it's a dump.
Got it. And it's not just the stadium, but sadly it's really a decaying American city, which was once very vibrant. So there's a lot of sadness when I think about the city of Oakland. I'm with you.
There is, because they've tried. They've tried very hard out there and I hope they can turn it around, but now they've got no sports teams and I don't know what's going to happen.
You know, Susan, I love having you on. I love listening to you because we always learn something, but I did not realize today that I'd be learning that possums are okay. You mean those nasty looking animals
wonderful
to get in the garbage?
Yeah, they can't help it that they're lovely. I mean, they're ugly. They can't help it. It's not their fault. They don't just eat garbage. They eat bad things. They eat mosquitoes and they eat bad critters that do bad things to your garden.
Can they eat criminals?
And your dogs. Do they what? I've never asked.
I'll say, could they? We got a lot of them. Get rid of them.
I have lots of possums up where I live and they're just there. And have you ever seen a possum playing dead?
Yes.
Yes, it's scary, isn't it?
Yes.
I've had a couple and have gone to go get a shovel to bury it and they're gone by the time I get the shovel. They even fool my German shepherds.
Wow.
They never touch them, yeah.
Susan.
They're great little critters.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, now maybe I'll be okay with them instead of being running the other way when I see them taking out the garbage at night.
They won't hurt you.
Okay, that is good to know. I am, just so you know, let's see, November, are you free like November 15th, Strip House in the city so we could celebrate Juan Soto signing with the Mets?
Okay, I don't eat meat. So
no steakhouse. Can we do like an Italian
pasta
place or something? Yeah, maybe we'll do a nice Italian spot.
Okay, I don't eat wheat. I don't eat.
What do you eat? Susan, what do you eat? We're learning even more here. What is it? Just fish? You want to go to sushi spot?
Fish. Okay. Chicken.
I love sushi.
Turkey.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sushi.
Right.
I love sushi.
Right, okay. Good sushi spot. You in for that, BT?
I love sushi. Have sushi once a week. My daughter loves it.
Go.
Big
all
sushi
right
family, no doubt.
All right. You pick a sushi spot. I'll be there.
You're
all
the right best, Susan.
November. You think he's going to sign by November?
Susan, he's nuts. You know.
Oh,
you know.
I was just
come
being
on
ambitious, Susan. Ambitious. Maybe December, who knows?
Just like Yamamoto. Susan, awesome spot. Thank you very much.
All right. Talk to you next week.
Thank you, Susan. She's awesome.
Yeah,
and
she's
listen, possum are not aggressive. Their open-mouthed defensive hissing is merely a bluff to look vicious. So kind of like you.
Works.
So kind of like you. Yeah, you talk right. tough, and you know, there's nothing backing it up.
That yeah, is true. Yeah.
Did I say that? I didn't mean it. Oh, hey, Pete, what a big home run you hit last night, buddy.
That's great. I tell you what, I'm happy we're doing this with Howie and Susan.
Yeah.
I love it. So it's really old school, but I think, you know, given the stretch run, given the viability, obviously, for the Yankees, who look like they're going to win this division, the Mets are playing well. This is fun. 888-888-1019. It is BT and Sal on the Fan coming up. Okay, now, my take on what Juan Soto said is a little different than Susan's take. We'll get to that coming up next on The Fan.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.